Well, on this Friends and Family Sunday, I have the pleasure of welcoming to the pulpit my family member, my dad. Amen. So this isn't his first time gracing our pulpit here at Hillendale, but I'm excited to have him here. I know Dave is excited to have him here. Dave always tells me, Garrett's a good preacher, but his dad. He was telling John, Pastor Mann, that last Sunday. It was great. So obviously I've known this man my entire life. I was actually there when he gave his first sermon before he was, as he was being licensed to preach. I was about 4 years old, and I still remember some of what he said. He has always been a great example for me, not just what he did up here. I always listened to what he did up here in the pulpit, but just in life, just watching him, how he interacted with people, how he was always welcoming to everyone. I remember the day he asked me if it was okay if we could bring somebody in to live with us who, you know, they had a pretty rough start in life and needed to go to a new school, and the school that I was going to was pretty good. So he said, well, why don't you just come live with us? And so he became my brother, and don't know where to begin with how much of a joy it is to have him as a dad. Always, even though, 'cause sometimes you think, you know, pastor's kids turn out crazy. I didn't know what a pastor's kid was till I got to college. People said, you know, because people ask me, you know, what do your parents do? And I would tell them, you know, my mom's an engineer, my dad's a pastor. They said, oh, you're a PK. I was like, what's a PK? What's a PK? I had no idea. What's a PK? Because even though I was, you know, a pastor's kid, I was not treated differently. You know, I was treated just like any other kid. And so really appreciated the freedom that he gave me to find my own way. Never felt pressured to do anything related to church other than be there. Had to be there. but in terms of what I did while I was there, always gave me freedom to make my own way. Never felt pressured to enter ministry. Never wanted to enter ministry. Never thought about it. But once that decision came and I made that decision, I had a great example to follow and someone to help me along the way. So without further ado, please welcome Reverend Dr. Gareth E. Murray, Sr. Oh, one second, I'm sorry. Before we do that, I'm going to read the text first. I'm going to read his text before he comes. It comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 46. It's the healing of blind Bartimaeus. It reads this. It says, they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Amen.
Good morning. Again, it's been a while. I think it's been a while since I've, yeah. But it's good to be home. I consider this to be my home as well. And my wife is downstairs. We had to explain to my church that she's not there all the time because she's down here. Not that we needed to have their permission for her to come here, but just wanted to let folks know that she was someplace else. And I thank you for welcoming her and embracing her work here with you. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to open your text, to explore what you have in store for us, to explore how we might walk more boldly in your way. We ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, so that we might hear a word from you. Allow my light to decrease so that yours might increase. Hide me, dear God, behind the cross. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I like this theme. Vision, seeing God while navigating life. Always a good thing to see God when you're navigating life. And in today's text, we have the story of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who has an encounter with the eternal. And though he was without physical sight, he seems to have a greater discernment than the disciples as to the magnificence of the Master and God's desire for his life. This is not to say that the disciples were not aware of who Jesus was. However, there are times when we're so close to someone that our interactions become routine and we lose sight of the significance of that person in our life. So for the next few moments that I ask to share, I should like to preach from the subject, Oh, Say Can You See? Oh, Say Can You See? Jesus and his disciples are on the way through Jericho, which was a popular resort city built by Herod the Great. And it was built in the Judean desert not far from the Jordan River crossing. Now, beggars were not an uncommon sight in that day. Matter of fact, they were found in every town because the majority of the jobs that were available to folks were jobs that required a physical ability. They were labor, primarily jobs that involved physical labor. Therefore, if you had any type of a disability, crippling disease, or physical disability, you were at severe odds to find work. You had to really look hard to find some kind of a job, and you were usually forced to beg. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. The text does not say what caused his blindness. But the belief of that day was that if you were blind, you had sinned or your father had sinned. Now, the text doesn't tell us anything about that. And it doesn't go into any detail. It simply states Bartimaeus was blind. So what can we learn from this blind beggar's discourse with the divine that can assist us in living out our personal discernment of the divine, having vision, seeing God while we navigate life? Well, the first thing I think we can pull from this text is the fact that discernment demands demonstration. Discernment demands demonstration. The text tells us that Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside where Jesus and the disciples were passing by. The text does not tell us how long he had been sitting by the roadside. It just says that he was sitting by the roadside. Now, even here today, we have certain individuals who, for whatever reason, have been forced to beg. And they have certain places where they stand. In my county, in Maryland, I can count on seeing this one guy named Eric, because a friend of mine stopped to ask him his name. Now, this man has been at the same corner since we moved back here from California in 1988. I have seen him at this exact same corner, at Four Corners, down by Montgomery Blair High School. Same man. He's gotten a lot older, but the same person. I don't know what his circumstances are. I don't know why he's there, but he's there. The text doesn't tell us how long Bartimaeus had been sitting by the roadside. It just says that he was sitting by the roadside. We also don't have an idea of what it was that he heard about this man named Jesus. We don't know if he had heard through the rumor mill that this man with a special spirit was going to be in the area. We just don't know. Nor does it say what events led him to draw the conclusion about the Christ that motivated him to cry out to this man named Jesus. The text doesn't tell us any of that. It just tells us Bartimaeus was a blind beggar and he was sitting by the roadside. But whatever it was that he heard prior to Jesus coming by made him conclude that Jesus was the answer to his condition. It's of little importance to us what those things were. The main thing is that he felt that Jesus was the answer. And so Bartimaeus could have continued to sit quietly by the roadside. You see, but what's important is that we have to live out the awareness. Whatever it is that he understood about Jesus that could help him with his condition, that wasn't as important as the fact that he had to live out that awareness. Simply having a discernment about something or an awareness about something is not enough. We have to also demonstrate it through the way that we live. My understanding something, my knowing something, and keeping it to myself doesn't help anyone else. It really doesn't help me as much as it could, because until I begin to live out what it is that I understand, what it is that I believe, then I am not being a blessing to myself or others. So Bartimaeus could have continued to sit quietly by the roadside and just keep to himself his awareness of the significance of this man called Jesus that was passing by. Likewise, some of us sit by the roadside of life, and when there's an event that says to us that Jesus is passing by, you know, sometimes you have a certain feeling, the spirit comes. I was at a funeral yesterday. Excuse me for sitting part of the time, but I was on the road from 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday until 10:30 last night, and then had to get up to be here because I had a funeral in North Carolina. But while I was there, let me go aside. There was a young man there who was supposed to simply read the Old Testament scripture. You know how we do at funerals? Someone reads Old Testament, one reads New Testament. He got up to speak, and I could tell that he was getting ready to cry. Now, this is a guy, I'm 6'6", he was 6'7". I said, there must have been a rule about who reads scripture that day, because we were the tallest folks in the church. But when he got up to read the text, he said, I can't read the text right now. I have to share something about the gentleman that we were there to say farewell to. He said, I punched out of University of North Carolina not once, but twice. And then my mother died. I was the only child, didn't know my dad. So basically, I was homeless. Didn't know what I was going to do. And this man and his family took me in. We became brothers. They assured me that they had my back. They helped me to get through school. They kept me on the track to where I am Dr. so-and-so today. I say that because in the text, Bartimaeus knew some things. He had certain feelings. This gentleman yesterday had certain feelings about how God intercedes in his life, how God steps in when things are not going so great. He could have kept that to himself. But instead, he shared it with the folks who had gathered. And someone in that church yesterday needed to hear what he had to say. I can't tell you who it was. All I know is that that's the way it works. Sometimes you go to one place for one event and you end up getting something that you never expected to get. They were there to funeralize a longtime friend. Instead, we're blessed by this gentleman's testimony. So, getting back on track here. Some of us sit by the roadside of life, and we simply acknowledge what's going on around us internally and remain silent. But I submit to you that discernment of the divine demands our demonstration. Bartimaeus knew that. There was something special about this man named Jesus. He couldn't necessarily tell us what it was, but he knew that there was something special. And he had to put aside the pressure of protocol and call out to the Christ, for the opportunity to have him so near was not to be taken for granted. His demonstration was acknowledging the significance of this man named Jesus. So he called out to him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He called out by himself, had no backup, didn't have his brother or his sister or his parents to help him out. He called out by himself. And there are going to be times in our lives when we will be called upon to be the only voice pointing to the Christ. Nobody around us is willing to step up, but God places in our heart that something's not quite right here. God says to us, you need to be an advocate for that individual right there. And even though it may seem like you're stepping out all alone, you're never going to be lonely. Because God always steps out with you. When you do what he's calling you to do, you're never alone. Amen? God's always got our back. And we have to be aware of the potential consequences that come with demonstratively pointing the way towards Christ. Sometimes, you know, there are things that happen. You may be doing the right thing. You may be doing what God has called you to do, but everyone doesn't appreciate that. The disciples in the text, the disciples try to quiet him down. And there will be certain people, even in the church, certain people who attempt to quiet you down. No, no, don't say that. We don't want to be bothered with that right now. The text says that the disciples tried to get him to be quiet. But the second thing that I think we can pull from this text is the fact that discernment demands disruption. Discernment demands disruption. Bartimaeus could have backed down and quieted down. so as not to cause a scene. He was disrupting the calm and quiet gathering. He was disrupting the order to which the disciples had become accustomed. He was making too much of a fuss over the Father. He was drawing too much attention to the eternal. He was making an unsolicited request of the Redeemer. It would be one thing if Jesus said, "Is there anyone here who needs something?" No, Bartimaeus wasn't waiting for that. Bartimaeus was calling out to him. And you know, given the world in which we live, sometimes we must disrupt. By definition, we must be the catalyst to cause society and the people therein to be unable to continue in what they consider to be the normal way with a corporate culture of corruption, a culture that shields the abuse of our children, a culture that devalues the worth of humanity based on gender, race, or ethnicity, a culture that turns a deaf ear to domestic violence, a culture in perpetual pursuit of pleasure. We need someone who will stand to disrupt a society and those within it who want to keep us silent, who want to keep us from pointing to Christ. To disrupt a society that does not want the world to know the love of God. To disrupt the calm, unconscious comfort of those who frown on my sharing of my love for the Father. You know, a lot of folks get uncomfortable when you talk about how much you love God. They just start to squirm a little bit. Or you'll notice that they, when you show up, they don't want to stand too close to you because you might say something about how much you love God. And they are those, of course, who think they know who is worthy, just as the disciples, who is worthy to approach the Almighty. I know it doesn't happen here, but in one of my former churches, the church Gareth grew up in, I had a young lady come to me and ask me if we would display the AIDS quilt. Now, this was way back when AIDS was taking up the news 24/7. And I don't know if you've ever seen the AIDS quilt, but it's huge. And the folks in D.C. had done this quilt, and they were looking to take it to different churches and to just have it on display. That's all. They weren't asking for anyone to make donations or just have it on display so that people could see the quilt and in some way make a connection with these individuals. You know, in the Bible, it talks about the lepers and the fact that folks didn't want to touch them. They didn't want them to be around clean folks. And so I said, okay, fine with me. And I took it to the powers that be. And they said, do we really want to have that in our church? I said, yeah. And so rather than dealing with the deacons, I went to the senior pastor. I said, look, Doc, we have an opportunity to have the quilt on display. He said, well, let's put it on display. That took care of that. And over time, what we discovered is that several individuals in the church were living with AIDS. And we started to talk openly about the fact that we would show up on Sunday morning and we would say good morning to each other, and we would have a time during the service where we would give a holy hug to your neighbor. And I said, think about it. There are certain individuals in this church who will only get a hug when they come here. That's it. So who are we to decide who is eligible to approach the Almighty? We all have to support one another and encourage one another. And when someone cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me, we don't need to judge. We need to clear a path to help them get to whatever it is that they need from God. That's our role. We have to be like Bartimaeus and unashamedly cry out even more loudly to the Master, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, there are times, I know, when we're going through our routines at work, going through life, think you're doing everything that God has asked you to do, you know, living the way that God wants you to live, and yet, stuff just doesn't go right. I do what I'm called to do here, and the evil one steps in and messes that up. And I do what I'm called to do here, and the evil one steps in and messes it up, until I just have to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, because something's not going right in my life, and I don't know what it is. But you know, when we are willing to put aside all of the stuff and call out to God, something curious happens. When we're willing to be demonstrative in living out our discernment of the divine, when we are willing to disrupt those who seek to quiet us in our quest for the Christ, the third point happens. Discernment reveals the champion. After Bartimaeus demonstratively calls out to Jesus and disrupting those who want him to be quiet by calling out even more loudly, Jesus responds to him. The text tells us that Jesus stops. The text that was read today is even better. It says that he stood still. Now, you may say, well, he stopped and he stood still. What's the difference? I can stop. You called me, I stop. I'm thinking about my laundry list. I'm looking around at all the folks that are here. I'm listening to you, but you don't have my full attention. When you stand still, I believe that that means that you are giving me your full attention. Nothing else is going on. Nothing else matters. The text says that he stood still. And at that point, when someone stands still, you are the center of their universe. You are all that matters. And when we call on God, he stops, but he not only stops, he stands still, and he pays attention only to us. No multitasking. His stillness means that we are the focus of his attention. So Jesus stood still, and then he said to him to come here. The disciples called to him, telling him, Don't be afraid. Now, isn't it interesting? You're sitting on the roadside. Jesus is coming by. You call out to him. You're going after Jesus. And when Jesus says, call him here, the disciples tell you, don't be afraid. Well, if I were afraid, I never would have called out to him. So what's going on with the disciples? That's another sermon. Okay. So the disciples say to him, not to be afraid. And you know the rest of the story. But I submit to you that Bartimaeus had spiritual sight, but just lacked the physical ability to see. And sometimes in our lives, we have vision that allows us to see God while navigating life. Sometimes it's not about the physical sight. Sometimes a mother knows when a child is doing something, not even in the room. I'm sure you've had those experiences where your mother calls you out of clear blue. You're doing something you know you're not supposed to do. She calls you and says, what are you doing? Because God placed in her spirit, you need to call that child right now. It's just like when kids get too quiet. Something's going on. It's too quiet in this house. So Bartimaeus didn't have to have physical sight. But Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do? Bartimaeus says, I want to see again. See, a lot of folks brush over that again. But it says, I want to see again. Well, if he's blind, he can't see. Not true. If you listen to folks like Stevie Wonder and other blind artists, they say, well, when I see, wait a minute, Stevie, you can't see. Well, he can see. He doesn't have physical sight. But he can see. And much of his talk, when he talks about seeing things, he can see. It's just not the way that we see. So Bartimaeus says, I want to see again. And I look at that as I want to see in another way. Because I can already see that you are the person that I need to hook up my train to. You are the one who's going to deliver me. Now help me with my physical sight. And Jesus says, you may go. Your eyes are healed because of your faith. And so Jesus, by healing Bartimaeus, became his champion. Because Jesus refuted the prevailing belief regarding blindness being the result of sin. And Jesus was willing to look beyond the picture of the present. He's willing to see beyond the imperfections of Bartimaeus. And he's willing to see beyond our imperfections. And out of his compassion, he sought to motivate Bartimaeus towards perfection. And out of his compassion, he seeks to motivate us to become all that he would want us to be. He was willing to see Bartimaeus's brokenness and move as only he could to make him whole again. And when circumstances of life seem to break us, he will do the same for us to make us whole again. Jesus was Bartimaeus's champion. He stood for him even when others only sought to quiet him and judge him. Likewise, Jesus will be your champion. Only he can see beyond where you've been, where you are now, but more importantly, where you will be, where he plans for you to go. Jesus will be your champion in the challenges of this Christian journey. Jesus can see the promise and possibilities for your life, even when you cannot. You need only courageously call out for him, disrupting those that strive to quiet your quest for the Christ. Discernment is having the insight that Jesus is your all in all, and then living out that insight by being obedient to your calling. Discernment demands demonstration. Discernment demands disruption, both personal and societal. But thank God that discernment reveals the champion. That champion is Jesus the Christ. He was the champion for each and every one of us when he hung on that old rugged cross on Golgotha's hill. And he is our champion sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Ose, can you see? Vision. Seeing God while navigating life. Amen.
Amen. Can we show our appreciation for the word today? Thank you so much. As our team comes, we're going to take a few moments just to take an opportunity to demonstrate that we've heard something today from God. And I don't know what you see where, from where you're sitting, what you see God doing in your life, what you see happening around you. I want to encourage you to go ahead and take that step and disrupt the status quo. It might be disrupting your own life. Because maybe God, you feel God calling you to something, God calling you to do something, and it'll disrupt your own status quo, the way that your life has been going. I just want to encourage you to do something with what you've heard today, as our music team ministers in song. And no matter how small that step may be, I encourage you to take that step, because when you step out, the Lord steps to you. And your champion will be revealed. Take this opportunity now. Just pray, Lord, what are you calling me to do? And take a step of faith. I'll be right back.